Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 820. This is your host, Danny. And yes, I'm back here officially with the Gamertag Radio crew. We have P in the house. What's going on, Pete?
What's up? Last show of the year, episode 820.
Last show of the year.
It's crazy.
Yeah, man. This year has flew by super fast. Insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. Man. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and also joining us is Paris, man. So we have the whole crew up in here. The whole crew, finally. It's been a while. It feels weird recording all of you, man. What's up, Paris?
I'm just thankful that you're back so I don't have to host anymore because I'm sick of talking to Pete by myself. I'm just glad you're here. And now I can go back to being my normal, grumpy, angry self, and I have to be nice. I did not prepare for this podcast at all. I'm going to wing everything.
Wing it.
I'm just going to wing it because I never prepare. I'm just going to wing it.
Okay. But yeah, you're prepared for this episode, Pete. I hope so. You're prepared because Paris says he's going to freestyle.
I did a little bit of homework. I'm good.
Okay.
No, I am kidding. I have my full list of game top five, my most surprising and my most disappointing. I'm ready.
Ooh, okay.
Look, all right. He threw the okie doke. He's not ready for that.
Yeah. I like my list. My list is good, man. So, all right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, if you get the chance, make sure to share the podcast to your friends, your family. You know, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, which help us also gain some money every time you listen through there. We're everywhere, including, I think in a couple of weeks, we're also going to be available on Pandora. That's coming very, very soon. Just be on the lookout. And make sure to join the beta to listen to podcasts through the app. So stay tuned for more details about that. Just follow us on Twitter. I'll definitely will give you the heads up once it's available. So also shout out to all the listeners that have been listening to us through Spotify, because you know every year they do like a wrap up, they show you like the stats, like your top music tracks, top podcasts for this year for the first time. And a lot of our listeners been hitting me up, not only on Discord but also on social media, showing our logo and saying that it's like their top podcast listen so far for the year 2018 on Spotify. So thank you. That's really, really cool. Really cool. All right. So this is going to be our last episode here for 2018. And definitely got to take a couple weeks off because we haven't had a long vacation like this in a very long time. And, you know, we want to spend some time with the family, play some games, just relax until January 7th. That's when we're planning to return and have a brand new episode of a GTR.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So before we talk about our game of the year, favorite moments or anything like that, overall, you guys, P and Paris, 2018, your review so far compared to previous years.
I guess I'll start it off. I'll shoot it off. It's been one of the biggest ones in recent memory, right? You've got things like Drake and Ninja catapulting Fortnite to, you know, near universal power. Like, might as well be Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. So that's a good thing for everybody, right? Whether you're just, you know, just a casual mobile gamer or if, you know, you're, you know, hardcore players, you know, that's I think probably the biggest highlight of 2018. There's a couple of other things that were a little more telling, maybe a little more depressing in a way. Things like the shutdown of Telltale Games.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. E3, the decline, is it finally happening? I know Paris got into his Nostradamus bag a while back and was talking about that.
No, correction. Miss Leo.
Good Lord, he's back. He's already telling you what to say.
Yeah, he's
good
telling Lord. Me what my review is all about.
Back, but okay. Oh, my God.
I'm back.
You know, we got stupid things like Soulja Boy and his pathetic piracy handheld console and his subsequent announcement that he's partnered with Ubisoft. By the way, he's not. but aside from the Drake and Ninja stuff with Fortnite, for me, the only other biggest thing for me would be that Cyberpunk 2077 announcement and gameplay session at E3. That was just simply amazing for me, and I cannot wait.
Mm. Hey, you know, I got to give a shout out to Paris, man. The video that went viral of him coming out after watching the gameplay video.
He's got to update his bio awesome. To say, like, viral video star.
I'm the dude that walked out of E3 and compared Cyberpunk to Cowboy Bebop. And look, Netflix saw it and is like, you know what? That's a good idea. We should do a live action series of it. Please be good.
Thank you, Paris. Yeah, man. I'm thinking of other things. Hey, Pete, you forgot about this, man. The controller, the dapper controller.
Oh, that was, of course. And you know me, I'm trying to keep it positive and lighthearted. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go boohoo crying again because it does.
But
that
you
to
know
me.
What? I the reason why I bring that up, because a lot of people don't know this. So at E3, we were there, you know, doing interviews at the Microsoft showcase. And I can't remember. I had to go to another appointment in the same building. And Pete just went and started recording on his own. And you, I believe you interviewed one of the creator of the adapter controller. And
no.
You said
no,
that
not the
after,
creator.
After the recording.
Not the, he's not the creator. Not the creator. He's a Microsoft employee. He's a handicapped employee. He's got limited use of his arm and he's missing some digits in his hand. But he works closely with the Microsoft team. He was also doing the demo at the Microsoft event, as well as on stage at E3 when they were showcasing Forza Horizon with everybody on stage, whether they were using, you know, keyboard and mouse, a console controller, you know, racing wheels. And then he was there as well, right there front and center with the adaptive controller.
That's cool. Yeah. And I know Pete got emotional after the recording.
Oh man, I got emotional during the recording. That was huge.
Oh, it was during too?
Oh no, I was sitting there fighting tears. And like he was like, dude, it's cool. It's all right, man. It's all right. And it's just and I've mentioned this on the show before. It's just because of, you know, I have that close relationship with my nephew who has special needs, and I'm probably gonna start getting boohoo crying now too. I envision him finally being able to play video games and me being able to share that experience with him. That's why it felt, you know, so, you know, it was so powerful for me in general. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I wanted to see out there on that stage. And kudos to Microsoft for championing that.
Very cool. All right, Paris, what about you, man?
You know,
what about you? What was your review overall?
Were you just of 2018 overall?
Yeah, 2018.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I actually didn't play a lot of games this year. It was more quality over quantity for me because I feel like what I did play this year was excellent. It was an excellent year for gaming. Didn't do a lot with indie, much with indie gaming as I have in past years, though. I don't know. It's just one of those things. I just had a lot going on in my life personally, you know, changing jobs and doing things like that. You know, I mean, overall, it was a good year. Like you said, one of the highlights would have been just E3 seeing Cyberpunk and just seeing the thing that we've been talking about for so many years finally coming to light and actually seeing the vision that CD Projekt Red has for it, and got me even more excited, you know, for when it eventually does come in the next couple of years. You know, I know we'll go through our whole top five games list, so I won't go through too much, but it was good. You know, the three of us, you know, we got to see each other multiple times this year. So that always is a good thing when we get to hang out. You know, we were just together last week, so I'm always thankful for that. And got to go to Sweden this year. So that was awesome. Finally got to go back to Europe again. So that was pretty cool. And did a couple of other secret things that I may or may not ever get to talk about. But I'll say this about my year, to be blunt. It's good to know that having an opinion, whether it's a positive or a negative one, but as long as you're respectful about said opinion, goes a long way in ways that one day hopefully I'll be able to talk about. But I'm just glad that even if I'm critical of something, it's heard and it's respected. That's all, you know, because I feel like a lot of people love to say a bunch of crazy stuff out there and they do it in such a negative and sometimes even a nasty way. You can't possibly expect any of these companies to respect that same opinion. But, you know, you don't have to like everything. And, you know, sometimes you want to like something, but it just isn't working. And maybe your opinion could help fix said thing. Let's just put it that way. So it's been a good year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think this has been, in my opinion, one of the best years that I ever for me for when it comes to like independent games, because I play a lot of indie games, a lot. And I think this year, for the first time, I downloaded so many indie games on like using my Nintendo Switch instead of Xbox and PlayStation 4. Because, you know, I've been traveling a lot this year and I just take them, you know, on the go. So that's the thing that I'm loving so far, man, this year. It's just that the independent games is getting better and better. And sometimes even better than the AAA games, man. You know, so yeah, whenever you guys get the chance, man, the listeners, make sure to go do some research on some of the indie games that came out this year that's actually pretty good, been getting great reviews. Support those indie developers, because, yo, I would like to see more content like this in the future, man. Not only in the Switch, but also for PC and consoles, you know, overall, man. So I think we started strong. I love our Hope County Stories podcast series that we did. That was really dope. One of my favorite highlights ever since I've been recording GTR in 05. That was one of my highlights, man, because it sounded so good, man, that I showed to a friend of mine that used to be part of the industry, and I showed him the podcast because he'd never heard about it, you know. So the first thing he said was, wow, I just got goosebumps, man, listening to this, man. Goosebumps. This is so dope, man. I've never heard about this. I never heard about Whole County Stories. So it was something cool and original that no other show has done before. So that was really cool. And I'm honored that Ubisoft gave us the opportunity for us to record that, man, you know, with the voice actors of the game, you know. And it got me excited to play Far Cry, man. So that was awesome.
Yeah, the fact that it added a little bit of personality to the game, like, oh yeah, like, hey, yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, I remember, you know, when you're playing, for example, you're going towards, you know, the airport hangar in the barn and stuff like that, and you're like, oh yeah, that's Steve Byers' mm-hmm. character. That's really cool. It's just little things, little nuances that tie into the game without really being a part of it. So yeah, shout out to the folks at Ubisoft for allowing us to do that first and foremost, mm-hmm. right?
Definitely.
You know, shout out to the actors who took time out of their busy schedules to do these, to step out and actually get into character once again outside of the game and be able to participate in those. You know, those are really, really fun. And shout out to you guys, man. You guys, you know, we worked on that, you know, for a long time. That's definitely a highlight, 2018. That was dope.
Was there any other highlights for you guys before we go to the next topic or no?
Oh, let's keep it pushing.
Good? Cool. All right. So before we go to the list of games, Game of the Year and all that stuff, 2019, what, very, very short, very short, what you would like to see in 2019? Do you would like to see more games, maybe a sneak peek on the next gen, or what? Like, what is it that you would like to see in 2019 before we move forward to the next topic?
I don't need a peek for next gen in 2019. There'll be plenty of time for that in 2020. What I would like to see with 2019 is for it to just be the peak of gaming for what we've had for this current generation. You know, when we know games like Gears 5 and The Last of Us 2 are going to be some big highlights that come out in 2019, not to mention like The Division 2 and some other things. So Metro, yeah. The list could go on and on, but I just really think I just want to see, let's see that crowning achievement of what this current generation and what this current hardware can do, you know, and just close it out the right way. And then let's just go into 2020 and move on to the next generation of gaming.
Definitely. What about you, Pete?
I want to see a release date for Cyberpunk 2077.
No, I don't.
In 2019.
Yes. I think it's going to happen.
Okay. You think the game is coming out in 2019?
They're announcing the release date so we can finally start figuring out, you know, the budget and, you know, just, you know, start putting away coin for the upgrades.
I'm going to pull a Danny and just say no. I don't want that. But you know why? You know why? Because I just feel it's going to come in 2020, and I don't want them to put a date on it too early, get me excited for that date, and something happens, I got to push it back. When they announce that date, I want it like 3 months later. That's what I want.
Push it back, though. Push it back. When have we ever been against them? You know, because then
I'll be sad. I don't want to be sad.
So you know what I would like to see next year? I would like to see the future. You know, I know that
I'd like to see the future.
The future when it comes to like streaming. When it comes to streaming, you know, because, you know, PlayStation started that. I think it was kind of rough. Actually, no, before that was on live. Then it was PlayStation. And, you know, I've been playing a lot of the Google Stream version now for the past few weeks. And right now the connection I have over here is pretty crappy. And the experience has been really, really smooth. I would like to see a sneak peek from Microsoft when it comes to that for next year. And because I think they are really going to push this in 2020 for the next gen consoles, man. You know, we're going to get to see a sneak peek for this current gen. But 2020, I think they're going to push it even harder. Plus, Game Pass. I'm loving Game Pass right now, man. You know, I thank God I got a code for the whole year. During E3, and I've been downloading a lot of games that I missed it during when it came out. But now with Game Pass, I've been discovering a lot of like indie games, a lot of games that some like AAA that's available there, man. So yeah, that's what I like to see in the future too, man. So all right, so we're gonna start with this, man. Should we start with most disappointing or go with like honorable mentions, like your favorite?
Disappointing.
Games.
Let's get that out of the way, and then it can be happy. Can be happy time.
Okay, so here's my first. This my first and only game because look, I play a lot of good games this year, man. But one game that I was very hyped when they showed this trailer back at E3, I was like, oh man, okay, this is good. The beta came out, and I was like, it's a beta. I'm going to let it slide, whatever. So the game came out back in August of 2018. I was not impressed. We Happy Few. Very disappointed, man. I was very confused about that game. I don't know if it was like a BioShock style. Is it an RPG, like first-person shooter? I didn't get it at all. I didn't like the game at all. And I just stopped playing it, man. We Happy Few is one of my most disappointing games in 2018 for me.
Seems about right. That game had a lot of potential a few years ago and you know, just didn't live up to basically the hype of what we all thought it was going to be. And I know I did an interview with one of the guys on that game at E3. You know, they got acquired by Microsoft and now they're off, you know, making something else. So it does make you wonder what probably happened towards the end of that development of that game. And I know it basically took a different direction at one point as well, if I'm not mistaken, as far as what the game was going to be from what we originally saw it to be to what it was when we got the final result. So yeah, I mean, I definitely would have that up there as one of my disappointments.
Yeah. Okay. Pete, what about you? Any disappointing games?
Disappointments? Sea of Thieves. That's one of them. Okay. I expected more. I wanted more. And unfortunately, it held my attention span for about as long as a lit match in a tornado.
Yeah. It was on my list as well. So I agree.
As many hours as I've put into it, Fallout 76. is okay. another one. I wanted that game to be so much better, to be so much better than it actually is, or it should be, especially coming from Bethesda. And my last one is Islands of Nine. I jumped on that bandwagon early and quick, fast. And hardcore today they announced that they've gone free to play and they shut down development of the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the gameplay in that game was fantastic. It was fun. It was exactly it brought a lot of things into what I was looking for in a battle royale experience. But unfortunately, shut up, Siri. Unfortunately, because of the fact that it's in a crowded space, you have a very, very small margin for failure. And because it's in the space with games like Fortnite, obviously PUBG, with monsters coming up like Call of Duty Blackout that was, you know, that came out prior to that, you have a very small margin for failure. And unfortunately, it was one of them. You know, it got hit. So, you know, shout out to Define Human Studios. You put in good effort. They tried, but, you know, they're just unsustainable at this point. So.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about honorable mentions first before the game of the year.
Good Lord. Am I not allowed to give a list?
Oh, my God. I forgot.
Yep,
yeah, go
yep,
for it.
You're back. Danny's back.
I forgot. I'm back.
Okay. So really quick, my three disappointing is I agree with Sea of Thieves. And I pulled the okie doke on you earlier, Danny, when you said, I was like, no, it's not one of them. But yes, it is, for basically the same reason that Pete said. Just I expected way more of that title, especially in the current. Why is the dog scratching at the door? Okay. While, especially where we are currently, you know, with the way that these shared world games are, it just lacks substance. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any real stakes in the game. Let's put it that way. And I know they're trying to put some of that stuff in with expansions and all that now, but for 2018, definitely a disappointment for me. And also, let me say, just in our overall list, I'm only including games that I've actually played. Not that's why like Fallout or a game like that won't be on my list. The other one would be Madden. I hadn't played a Madden game in probably since 2011. And I still feel like I'm playing a Madden game from 2011. Nothing's really changed. And I know people argue, oh, you can do all this stuff. But for just the average layman person, they've not done anything exciting to that franchise, in my opinion. So it's just not exciting to me. And I will go back to not playing Madden again because I'm just not impressed with it at all. And then my final disappointing game is Battlefield 5. But not because it's a bad game. It's because in 2018, they released an incomplete game. And I even said that when I talked about my initial impressions when I came from the event. If you are a hardcore Battlefield player, you're going to love what is there, but not enough of it is there. A lot of that stuff is coming in 2019. You know, in particular, the Battle Royale mode that they're going to have is coming in 2019. That is something that should have launched day and date with it here in 2018. So for that, I got to give it a disappointing. Not to mention they tried to fiddle around with the time to kill and they pissed off their hardcore community and they had to flip it right back and make an apology for it. So it's like when you start adding that kind of stuff up for what Battlefield is, a big AAA shooter that is more of a realistic experience than you would get in a Call of Duty. It's disappointing because it should have been so much more. And like I said, the bones of an amazing shooter game is there, but it just lacks content right now today. Probably a year from now it'll be a completely different conversation. It'll be loaded with content.
All right. Good. All right. So let's talk about honorable mentions. Again, Paris mentioned this too. We're going to be talking about games that we played, not what the major media and everybody's saying or the Game Awards and that. It's games that we play. All right. So honorable mentions. I will go first with this one because I have a couple games here because I got to give them props for this. One of them is State of Mind. I play that game nonstop. First of all, I played it during the E3. Loved the story. Got my attention big time. And then it was released for Nintendo Switch and other consoles. And The story is freaking phenomenal. Try it out. State of Mind. Really cool. Another game, too, that I really, really enjoy this year that I played, Starlink, Battle of Atlas for Nintendo Switch. I know it came out for other versions, but to me, the Nintendo Switch version is the superior version because they added the whole Star Fox team in there. Great story. Amazing. And it was pretty long, too, the game. And the good thing, too, like, you could play this game even without the ships and all that. I mean, it's a little bit complicated because you have to, like, start switching from the screen. But I just love the whole switching ships and characters while you're playing and stuff on the, like, similar to like Skylanders and other games too. So, and I know people will see Star Fox in there and you think, oh, it's probably like a very short mission or something for that game. No, they're there from the beginning of the game to the end. Super cool. I got like maybe 80-something% complete in the game. And there was like other side stuff that haven't done yet, but highly recommend it. Starlink. Here's a couple indie games, Mike. I've been playing a lot of indie games this year. One of them is Just Shapes and Beats. Also, I got that for the Nintendo Switch version. Great soundtrack. Amazing, amazing soundtrack. Make sure to check it out. And it's actually a lot of fun, man, especially the single player mode. Once you're done with that, you can play online with other people too. You could select the songs that you want, and you guys could play all together online. Another game, too, that I really enjoyed, The Messenger, reminded me a lot of, like, Ninja Gaiden, that type of vibe from the 80s. Really cool game. Into the Breach, that's another game that I play. I've been mentioning a lot of indie games here, man. But Into the Breach, awesome RTS game. It reminded me kind of like Advance Wars, like in the original Game Boy. Not a Game Boy Advance, I mean. I love it, love it. Now, these two is interesting because one of them I truly love. I love this game so much, man. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I really didn't care much about that game when I got to see it at E3. Once I got hands-on for the first time at the preview event, I was like, okay, I get it. This game is going to be really, really good. And the game that I'm about to mention now, I know a lot of people are going to be kind of mad that it's not on my top five, but Red Dead Redemption 2 is not on my top five. It's a great game. Online, it's okay. I feel like the game is beautiful. I love the things that you do in the game. I love the campaign, but I feel like the game took too long for me to really get into it. Like, I know P and Paris will mention Sunset Overdrive and so on, right? Because I felt like the first hour was a little bit too long when it comes to tutorial, and the guys just gave up, right? That's the thing that I felt with Red Dead Redemption, that it took too long for me to really get into it, right? Assassin's Creed and other games that I mentioned, and games that I'm about to mention too, it was like instant. Like, I really got into it, had a blast, and so on. So Red Dead Redemption 2, I think I'm the only one that played it out of the crew. It's a great game. Not on my top five. I think it's great for people to go buy it and check it out for themselves. But I don't know. After a while, I just stopped playing it, man, you know, because there was other games that got my attention, you know, right away, you know. So just want to say that very quick. Whoever wants to go next, go for it, man.
You sure you don't want to list the rest of the games that have come out in 2018?
No. Hey, look.
Good Lord, you got a long honorable mention list.
Yeah, but whatever. It's all good. It's all good. Go for it.
Go ahead, Ferris.
Well, I'll keep mine short and sweet, and I'll start off by saying MLB The Show. Just kind of the polar opposite of what I felt with Madden, whereas they keep iterating on that series every year. And I actually took a break for a couple years and came back to it this year. And it's fantastic. If you're a baseball fan, just all the different simulation modes and just everything that they packed into that game, fantastic. But I know sports isn't for everyone, but it is probably the best sports game that came out in 2018. So fantastic series. My other one would be Far Cry 5. Obviously, that's something we've had a lot of access to over the past year or so. Like Danny mentioned earlier, Hope County Stories and everything. Fantastic story that came out of there with the father. They're obviously following up on that now here a year later with the new Far Cry. Was it New Dawn that's coming out, I guess, in February?
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
But great open world sandbox. I mean, you can get killed by turkeys. But there's all kind of crazy stuff that goes on there. And there are different weapons, just everything. You can basically create your own fun in Far Cry 5. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, excellent entry to that series. And definitely recommend it to anyone that has not picked it up and tried it out yet. And then my final one would be the Division 1.8 update. Because that was the update. And I actually, did that even come out this year or was it late 2017?
No, that was December 2017.
Yeah,
I was actually
going to
put it as my surprise also. Yeah. And I looked back and was like, nope.
Yeah. But I included it. I included it because I didn't touch the game until this year. And it is well documented how much I avoided that game since 2016. And it was that 1.0 update and just the goodwill and everything that came with it that made me jump on board. And like Pete can attest, you know, I jumped in feet first and have been having an absolute blast with it to the point that I can't wait for March 15th of 2019 when the Division 2 comes out so I can keep the party going, so to speak. Let's put it this way. It may or may not have been asked to me when we may or may not have been at Red Storm recently. What am I going to do in March? And I, as far as gaming, will I still be playing Destiny? Destiny is going to have some competition. That's all I got to say. And I will say no more. But that's my list. Short and sweet. And Peter, what about you?
All right. Surprises. Epic Game Store announcement. Did not catch that. Did not expect that coming.
That's not a game.
That's not a game.
But it's a surprise.
Honorable mentions.
Are we doing honorable mentions or biggest surprise?
Honorable mentions, Pete.
Read.
Danny thought he was surprised. He went into honorable mentions.
Listen.
Danny went from like the biggest surprise to honorable mentions. So I don't know what the hell he's doing. Anyway, all right. Since we're doing honorable mentions then.
Okay, go.
Okay. So A Way Out.
Okay.
That was a surprise. I did not expect that to be as fun and enjoyable as it was.
Wait, I thought we were doing honorable mention. I'm confused.
Honorable mentions, Pete. Honorable mentions,
it's
Pete.
Still an honorable mention.
Okay, but you said it was a surprise. So just clarify.
Okay. I acknowledged that at the beginning before I started, and then I said it was a surprise. So stop pouring liquor in your pre-workout there in Paris and pay attention. All right. So honorable mention. It was a surprise to me that A Way Out was going to be as fun as it was. Danny actually pulled me in one evening. He's like, "Hey, let's go play A Way Out." I was like, "All right, sure, fine. I will do that. I will blow the dust off my Xbox One S and I will play A Way Out." Ended up having a supreme blast with that. And, you know, shout out to them. Shout out to that crazy developer guy that comes out of the Video Games Awards, Bolivia's Finest, for doing that. And Paris, I agree with you. Far Cry 5. I have a history with Far Cry 5, obviously. I loved 4. Voss is still one of my favorite villains of all time in the video games. But Far Cry 5 went above and beyond. And it was this close from being in my top 5. And it took some thought to figure out whether I wanted to put this or the other one in. And It was close and it was tough. But yeah, Far Cry 5, as Paris says, great way to kick off the Hope County environment. Obviously, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, we went, we basically went to Hope County. You know, we got a chance to talk to everybody. And so Far Cry 5 will always have a space in my heart because, you know, we did so much work, working with Ubisoft, working with the voice actors, and then obviously, you know, playing the game and things like that. So those are that's my honorable mentions for 2018.
Cool. All right, so next one. This is going to be good, man. Let's talk about our top 5 game of the year. So we're going to start with 5. Remember, guys, one more time, this is games that we played, okay? I don't want to hear people complaining and all this stuff. This is game that we play this year, all right? So we're going to start with number five. I have a tie, guys. I have a tie for number five.
Jesus. Is it a 43-way tie? I bet it is.
Yeah, okay. So two games that I felt needed to be in this list because I felt like it was very different than the previous games. And to me, it was like a game changer. One of them is Forza Horizon 4. I love that. Every Thursday, there's a new season, open world, do activities together with your friends or just random people online during inside the open world. It's dope, man. And just recently, they just released a brand new expansion, a brand new level now in the game. And it's a lot of fun. I had a blast playing with the guys. Again, cross player, you could play PC with Xbox users. Is actually a lot of fun. I thought 3 was on top. I was like, man, I don't know how they're gonna pull this off. Playground, how are they gonna top this? And 4 was so much better than 3. I love the level design and everything that they added. And every time there's a new season, it completely changed the game. So I gotta give them props. It's super cool. I love it so much. Another game too that I'm a huge fan of this series way back since I was like a little kid. Tetris Effect. First of all, I don't have the PlayStation VR. But the thing that I like about this game is this to me is the best Tetris game since the original game. Because I felt like the developers really took this game and they took it seriously. Added some cool music in there, similar to like Luminous and all that. And because, you know, previously a lot of companies would release a Tetris game, but it was like half-assed. Like they wouldn't take it seriously. They were just taking advantage of the brand, of the name. But for this one, they added a bunch of cool new stuff there. Yes, it's only single player in this game. There's no multiplayer or local co-op at all. But one thing that they add in the game that to me was like a game changer is every Saturday for 24 hours, there's an event where everybody in the Tetris community that has that game, we together as a group, we have to achieve like a goal within 24 hours. You have to have like a certain amount of points. Once we do that, then we unlock new avatars or new levels. I love that. Really, really enjoy that. And another thing that's a game changer too is one level. Let's say you're going really, really fast. The next level that you unlock, the new stage, the music is a little bit slower. Then the game slows down. So you could be really, like going really, really fast. But then depending on the music, the line, the everything that's dropping, it slows down or will go fast again. It depending what's happening in the background. So I truly love those two games, man. So to me, that's my number five tied. Games of Game of the Year. What about you two? You guys? Next.
All right. I guess I'll do this.
Yeah, because Paris is quiet.
Well, because you should direct the next person to go and just
Paris,
go. You guys.
Can you go next, please? There you go.
No, Pete's going.
Okay, so shut up.
So we're doing Game of the Year, top five. Okay, is there any particular order? Are we going straight to...
No, this is in order. This is in order. Order. This is in order. Yes. Okay. 5-1.
Okay. 5-1.
Yes, but number we go five, with 5 first.
Starlink, Battle for Atlas, Ubisoft. This is the game that was contending with Far Cry 5 for my game of the year. You know, for that fifth and final spot. Starlink surprised the hell out of me. I was not expecting to be enamored with this Switch title. Obviously, it's on different platforms, but for me, I wanted it on the Switch because I love Star Fox. After speaking with, you know, the developers at various events, getting a chance to have playtime, you know, hands-on, whether it's at various events, at E3, etc., I became more and more enamored with this title. The ability to, you know, switch components of your ship, switch pilots, and not lose focus of the game and the story in and of itself was so ingenious and so creative. And the game itself is really, really fun, you know? Yes, you know, I have a big pile of ships and characters and everything on my desk right now, and that's a welcome sight, right? Because it gives me, it allows me to have that respite from whether it's my normal busy day at work, with the crazy hecticness of life, or just, you know, going through shooters and playing poorly, right? It's, I can jump into that game and disappear for 2-3 hours and not have to worry about it, right? I don't have to worry about that, you know, being a great gamer. It's just, it's a great experience regardless of any, you know, whatever your experience level is. So that's my number 5. Number 4 is another.
Wait. Number only 5, Pete. Relax. Now it's Paris next, please.
Well, Danny, he got confused because you listened about 20 games.
Oh, God, went please, number 5, please,
so
please.
He didn't know.
So
it's number 5. Don't say number 4.
I can't say number 4?
No, save it. Save it. Number 5.
Robin? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Gotcha.
Let me show you how it's done, Danny. My number 5 is Call of Duty Black Ops 4, because I feel like the blackout mode brought Battle Royale to the console, and Fortnite doesn't count in my eyes. So I like Blackout, and it was a game that you and I got to see back in May, Danny, when we went to the event. I was mad skeptical of it. Obviously, there was going to be no campaign. You know, it was going to be zombie modes. We played the multiplayer and all that. But when we finally got hands-on with that Blackout mode, it clicked with me. It's a fantastic mode in Call of Duty. In my opinion, it saved Call of Duty this year. And hey, just like I told all of y'all, what is the best-selling game in 2018? It's Call of Duty Black Ops 4, just like I told you it would be over Red Dead 2. And I was right, and all of you were wrong. I'm patting myself on the back.
Okay.
Number 5. All right, next.
Next. Number 4. I love this game so much, man. Dead Cells. I got this on the Switch and also Xbox One. I've been playing this nonstop. And I love that, yes, you start, it's rough, you die, you start from the beginning of the game. But every time you start your mission to each level, you unlock new weapons, new powers that is going to help you to get further in the game. And it reminds me of, like, you know, games like Tetris or Mario Brothers back in the days. Like, every time you die, yo, you start from the beginning and you keep on going. But all the stuff that I unlock is in the beginning of the game. So I could look, the levels every time you play is totally different. I have never played a level that is the same. Now, I know the developers right now are working on an update, which are going to add even more random levels, designs in there, more weapons, more things that you could do in the game that you previously couldn't do. So I have so many hours combined with both. Oh, man, it's a lot of hours, man, a lot of hours. There's stuff that I have on the Xbox version that I haven't unlocked yet, the Switch version. So Dead Cells is a very, very special game. Soundtrack is good. Boss battles is amazing. You will get into this game as soon as you press start. It's that good. Love Dead Cells. So that's my number 4 game. Peter, you want to up at Paris or Pete? Where was it go? Number 4.
I love how you said Pete, then you just changed it.
Yes.
Make up your mind.
Who is it?
You know what? You guys have both P's, so whoever wants to go.
How's it any difficult? Your last name starts with P.
That's okay, around.
Okay.
Pete, go. You go, Pete. Go for it. Don't worry about
thank
Paris.
Thank you. Good Lord.
Yo,
yes.
I've been drinking.
You're rusty as hell. Hosting.
Yo, I've been off for like a month. Let me live.
Let me live.
Right. Man. Been a month.
All right. Number 4, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Ubisoft.
Okay.
This is you could actually probably throw this in, you know, that surprise group. For me, I was hesitant going into Assassin's Creed Odyssey simply because I felt, I think as Paris has mentioned several times, that is it too soon after Origins, which in and of itself is a great game. What can they do that's going to be so draw heavy, right? That's going to force you or want you to make to play Assassin's Creed again, especially after all of the gaffes with, you know, it's franchise fatigue, the year over year, you know, return to an AC title. But God damn it, Cassandra is a beast, right? That storyline, I don't want to get in. I'm not going to put on the spoiler hat tonight. Fantastic job, you know, made me emotionally invested in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So number four for me, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Ubisoft.
That's cool. Good choice, man. All right, Paris, you're next, man.
I'm same with Peter at number four, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, for everything he just said. So I won't repeat it too much other than, yeah, I played it at E3. I was highly skeptical of it. I was screaming to the rafters, why in the hell is Ubisoft bringing out another Assassin's Creed game after Origins? It's too soon. Then I started playing it and Cassandra won my heart and screw Red Dead because Assassin's Creed Odyssey was amazing. How about that?
Okay. All right. So number three, I will go with this game. This game to me, I put it up there with games like Batman from Rocksteady Games. Spider-Man was one of my favorite games for this year too, man. It was really cool. Great story. I just love the design, the open world. Love it, love it, love it. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Sunset Overdrive. And, you know, Insomniac took those elements that they learned from making that game from Sunset Overdrive and they added in Spider-Man. Plus, the voice actors, just everything, the boss battles in the game. And even those random side missions that there's like some enemies in a certain area robbing a bank or something. Like, I just love the whole environment of New York City. Like, I was even doing this, man, in the game. I've been to Marvel in New York. You know, I know where it's located at. In the game, I actually went there to see if I could find that building of their headquarters and stuff. So that was cool. Like, I just love it, man. I really had a great time playing this game, man. And to me, it's one of my favorite Marvel games, man, in gaming. This is the one, man. Spider-Man. Shout out to Insomniac. They did a great job with this game, man. So that's my number three. Peter, you're next.
All right. Number three. I'm probably going to get some flack for this. Go ahead and at me.
Uh-oh.
I don't care.
All right. Controversial. He goes.
God of War.
God of War. Number three?
Number three.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Okay. All right.
For reasons that I'll give later.
Okay.
Fantastic job from the folks at Sony Santa Monica. Great story. Great game. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my number three.
Okay. I respect that.
Leave that at that.
You're keeping it real. You're keeping it real. All right, Paris.
My number three would be Forza Horizon 4. I think that series has truly become the leader in the racing arcade space, especially being an open world game to be able to play Forza. And, you know, they just iterated on top of what they did with Forza Horizon 3 and 4 is even better when it comes to that. I love the Drivatars. I love everything about that world that they were able to create. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Playground Games. Again, I mean, I know Turn 10, you know, is the quote unquote Forza studio, but Playground Games has quickly caught up to them as far as being a respected studio in this space, making games under the Forza brand. So yeah, fantastic game.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So number two. Now, originally, Spider-Man was number two for me before I got to play this game. Grease, I know it's available now for the PC and Nintendo Switch. So the reason why I'm putting up Grease up there is one of the best, hands down, one of the best indie games that I play this year. I played a lot of indie games. This game was a life-changing for me because during the time that I received the game, you know, I've been, you know, going through some stuff now for the past month. And you know, I've been playing other games. But when I received that review code, I was like, oh, you know what? Let me try it out. Let's see what's up. That game reminded me so much about games like Journey, games like Ori, other games like Child of Light. It was one of the best, like, when it comes to level designs, just the experience, depending the area you're in, the music changes, the style, like, reminds me a lot, like Journey. And actually, the developers from Spain, Nomada Studios, they were inspired because of that. They created this game because of games like Journey. like I said, it was life-changing to me, and I finished it just 2 days ago. This is when, actually, 24 hours ago. That's when I decided, you know what, this game should be number two. It was not even in my top five at all. I had it in my honorable mentions, but I changed my mind right after I completed the game. It's so dope. And you know what? I know we've been mentioning a lot about like open world games and everything. And sometimes a lot of people don't have the time to play those open world games, man. It's good to play games that is a couple hours long, man. But to me, it doesn't matter about the graphics or anything like that. It's about the experience overall. Music, the environment, the boss battles, all that, the puzzles. I love it. I love it. Greece, to me, is a very, very special game, man, that I think if you haven't had a chance to play this game, go cop it. If you have a PC or hands down with the Switch, it looks beautiful. Yeah, I just truly love that game, man. So I put that number two for me. So next, Peter.
I was going to say, phenomenal lead-in.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Number two, Detroit Become Human, Quantic Dream. This was a game that caught me off guard. Went into it, throwing in the late pass. Came out in March, maybe April of this year. Started playing it just last month and drew me in. A certain unnamed industry person and I, we spoke for hours on Wednesday. Just about the game, the various choices that you can make. Again, it sucked me in and I fell in love with the characters, the stories, the way that everybody can play the game and nobody has the same experience, you know, because everybody, you know, one simple choice at the beginning of the game totally affects how things play out at the end. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time that a game has captivated me like that. And it has gotten me stuck in my chair and been like, okay, you know what? I'm going to forego, you know, a PUBG or whatever. And this is the game I want to play. So for my number two for 2018, Detroit Become Human, Quantic Dream.
All right. That's good, man. Paris, number two.
My number two is The Witcher Tales Thronebreaker that came out earlier this year on PC in October. And I believe the console version just came out a couple weeks ago. Again, it goes without saying, you guys know how much I love Gwent. Over the past few years while it was in beta, this is basically the final retail version of Gwent coming out for the single player version of it along with the multiplayer. But actually a really great story that they have that's being told, it, you know, with an RPG style, and then you're doing all the battles with the cards. It's fantastic. If you have even an ounce of love in Gwent, I highly suggest picking it up. Great game. Damn near was my number one.
Interesting. That's good. Wow. High praise, man. That's good. Here's my number one. I think that hands down, God of War is my number one game. And the reason is I just love, similar to Greece, it's just that connection. You know, I know I mentioned about Red Dead Redemption 2, that it took so long for me to get that for me to connect to that game. And I felt like God of War got me into it super fast. I just love the relationship between the father and son. Again, the boss battles that both of them got to get involved, the son and the father, while they're fighting and stuff, like either enemies or boss battles. And I just truly, truly, truly love the ending of the game. You know, I was streaming this on Twitch, and I was like, all right, I'm done, I'm cool. So I'm just walking, you know, the character's walking, you see the credits, and one of our viewers is like, nah, Danny, you're not done. I was gonna stop the stream. He's like, nah, you're not done, keep on walking, go, keep on, you're not done. And then you see an extra scene that I was like, wow, okay, this is dope. To me, this was a masterpiece because I played a lot of God of War games, but this one was special, I think. And it was different. It was great that they change the way how you play in the game from all out of all the games from the series. And I think this is a very, very, very special game that we're going to be talking about this from years from now. We're going to be talking about God of War, man. So I can't wait for the next game, man. You know? So Peter, you want to go next, man?
Yep. My number one game of the year for 2018, Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Insomniac Games. Probably no surprise hearing me say this. I've said it several times that pretty much on the fence whether this was going to be on there or sorry, it's pretty much assured that this was going to be my game of the year. I've said this for probably months now since launch. Obviously, knowing my background in comic books and being a collector, I have a special place in my heart for Spider-Man. I mean, who doesn't? Everybody loves Peter Parker. The story, the sheer way that Insomniac was able to learn from their experiences with Sunset Overdrive, as much as we give it crap.
You guys, not me. You guys.
He has to interrupt my talk, right? He just has to. It's
no, but you should. I just gotta add that in there because you say we. I'm not.
You could have just hit the mute button and just let me talk.
I'm just saying.
The fact that they were able to take their experiences and learn from them and make the game that they did with Spider-Man. Kudos to the folks at Insomniac for doing that. Spider-Man game of the year. Go Peter Parker.
Great job, Pete. Paris, number one.
Smurfs on a ColecoVision. This is amazing. God of War.
Yeah.
This is God of War. I mean, to me, that is easily the best game that I've played in 2018. Just for the reimagining. This is everything that Pete and you guys have already said. But it's just a reimagining of what they were able to take from the previous God of War games and to make this touching father and son story. Fantastic, man. It just is. I mean, you know, all the accolades that it's gotten all year, just completely well-deserved. And kudos to Corey Balrog and Sony Santa Monica. They made a fantastic game.
All right. So that was our top five, man. You know, I know there's probably going to be listeners that disagree with our choices and that's fine. Look, this is our personal choices. You know, every year we go through that stuff. But yeah, let us know. Email us. What is your favorite games of this year? Probably we'll read it on our next episode of GTR coming out next year. We're going to take 3 weeks off. We definitely, this is like official vacation for us. You know, I just want to say, you know, thanks to our listeners worldwide. They've been supporting us throughout this year. Download numbers has been amazing. Shout out to Audioboom for supporting GTR. And also all the gaming companies throughout the year that have been sending us games for review or invite us to like different events. It's awesome to do that because, you know, every time we get support from the gaming companies, we get that content and we share that content to our listeners, man, worldwide, man. So, and also before I pass it to P in Paris, I just want to say once again, thank you to all the listeners that have been hitting me up for the past month, you know, checking on me to see how I'm doing. You know, I think I mentioned this to, I mentioned this to P in Paris, man. You know, there was a time that I felt alone. And I, you know, I posted I was going to take a break. And honestly, out of the 14, actually almost 14 years, I have never taken a month off on a podcast. But getting that support from the community, that's when you know who is there for you or not, man. You know, so I just want to say thank you for everybody that hit me up. That was really cool. Thank you for all the emails, all the private messages on like on Xbox or PlayStation or emails. That was really cool, man. So thank you, and hopefully in 2019 we could, you know, do some bigger things. I mean, we got some stuff that we've been working on that I think is going to surprise a lot of people, man. So, Pete, you want to say something before we end the show?
Well, we never did our biggest surprise.
It's fine. It's getting late over here, man.
Jesus, that whole thing.
We can say it for the next show.
Sure, that's fine. No. Like you said, shout out to our community. Shout out to everybody who's listened there, who supported us. Whether you're new, whether you've been there since day one, you know, shout out to everybody who listens, who lurks, who watches us on Twitch, who follows, who supports. Shout out to everybody who helped me get to TwitchCon this year for the first time ever. It was through the support of our community and our listeners and our viewers that made it possible. So, you know, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you to you too, knuckleheads, for, you know, keeping me in this, right? This is, you know, it forced me to up my game each and every time, you know, putting me, forcing me to get out of my bubble, hosting a show by myself, which I've never done for you guys, you know, to live up to the bar that you two have set is hard to do, you know. The brotherhood with you guys is something I've never had. So thank you guys. And getting choked up, but F it, whatever.
You know I love you, man. You know
no, absolutely. Man. Love you guys. And yeah, that's it, dude. Shout out to GTR 2018. 2019 is going to get better.
Yeah, definitely. Paris, man.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know how to follow that up other than to say, you know, both of you guys are my brothers. You know, I love you to death. I was going to make a smart ass comment that I was the only person that didn't reach out to you while you were having a hard time. But of course, that would be a lie.
Yeah.
You know, we all go through things. We all have things happen in our lives. And that's like I've told you offline a million times already. That's what we're here for, you know. Just, you know, when you reached out to Pete and I and let us know what was going on there, I don't think there was a hesitation between the two of us on, hey, we got you. Don't you worry about this. Worry about yourself. Take care of yourself. And when you're ready to come back, it'll be here. Obviously, you came back too quick because you're rusty as hell, but you're back. Nah, but, you know, it's just like last week, you know, the fact that the three of us got to spend 3 days together and just hang out. And, you know, cover some things, but also have some personal time together and all that. It's good because it's like I told you guys a million times, you know, I didn't have a brother growing up. Hell, after all these DNA tests I'm taking, I might have a damn brother somewhere, but not one that I know of. And, you know, the three of us talk every day.
Yeah.
For what? Probably the past 5 years. It's crazy. I talk to you more than I talk to my wife.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But that's what real friendship is all about. We're not always going to agree. We're going to have arguments. We're going to do all those things. But at the end of the day, I always know you guys got my back. And, you know, here's the 2019, man. Whatever happens, happens. But when we have the same conversation a year from now, I'm sure we'll all still be friends. And whatever happens in between, happens in between. But, you know, we'll be here for each
definitely, other. Definitely, definitely. All right, everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Remember, subscribe. This is your first time listening to the show. Maybe you search on Google and you're like, oh, well, this is Gamertag Radio. Let me just click it. And you listen to the first episode. You like it. This is your opportunity right now to subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere. We're Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and also coming soon, maybe by the time you listen to this episode or by 2019, we also going to be available in Pandora, man. So make sure to listen to the show and yeah, help us out. Share this episode to other your friends, your family members, and let them know about GTR. Also, if you want, look, I'm right now, I know you're not watching the stream or not. I have a shirt of Gamertag Radio. If you want to support us, go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. We have a lot of cool shirts, hoodies, laptop cases. We have everything. Go over there and support us. It would mean us a lot that you will go and rock our shirt around your local area. That's going to help us out big time, man. So we're going to take a long break, 3 weeks off. We're coming back January 7th, and we're going to have a brand new episode over there in 2019. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for the support. Happy holidays and happy new year to all the listeners worldwide. We're out. Until next time, we're out. Peace. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.